Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But why I am in a hurry and perhaps excited is to deep dive into the numbers of one of the largest retailers across Southern Africa. That is Spar. Now, as you know, it has operations not only in the continent, but also in markets in Europe. We're well aware that they did divest from Poland, have highlighted a significant impairment, just shy of 5 billion rand in the UK and its Swiss operations, but is really beefing up on its client delivery in South Africa and located markets. We're joined now on the line by the Group CFO of Spar, Reeza Isaacs, to tell us more about the numbers. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Isaacs. A busy day for you and your team, crunching the numbers, sharing them with investors as well as us as the media. So excited to speak to you today.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Good evening to your listeners and thank you for having me.
100%. Maybe let's just start off, for, as I mentioned, many South Africans might not be familiar with your global reach. And that's also one of the themes that caught many investors and media participants' attention today, being the 5 billion rand impairment regarding your operations in the UK and Switzerland. Give us some context around what the market and the environment is actually like there that has led to your decision to move out of these regions.
It is very challenging markets to operate in, and I think as South African businesses, sometimes we venture into foreign lands, not really understanding the operating environment, and we believe we can take a formula that works in SA and also people, in SA and operate in those environments. I think Switzerland is a tough environment to operate in. Probably one of the most expensive operating environments in the world. I think the cost of living in a city like Zurich is probably one of the highest in the world. So, you operate with quite high fixed costs, salary costs, rentals, etc. And then, you have a blip on the top line, and it feeds all the way down to the bottom line. Our Swiss business is lost about 5% sales during the 6 month period. Went down about 5%. We still have this phenomenon of cross border shopping, where people actually, on the Swiss border, they could go into Germany, Austria, or France and actually go and pay 60 to 70% less than they would in Switzerland.
Sure.
So what a lot of people do is they get into their cars or the trains on the weekend, and they actually trek across the border, which is not far away. Mm. And actually, some businesses, like Austrian businesses, for example, have built outlets close to the border of Switzerland, so that Swiss could actually take advantage of that. So it's Switzerland's a tough environment to operate in. It's non-EU, and it's very protectionist. There's lots of laws and regulations that actually protect local industry. It's in protein, whether it's in sort of eggs and cheese and milk and oils. It's a highly protectionist environment, so it's very difficult to operate in there. And then we are a very small player, in a highly expensive, very price driven environment. And with the consumer under pressure, we probably own less than 2% of the market in Switzerland. And so your big players, and there's probably two big convenience players there, that Co-op and Migro, that have the size and the scale to actually invest in price, and then we have to compete on that. So it's a difficult operating environment. And then what didn't help us was we had a cyber incident.
Yes.
In the month of March, which took up a lot of management time and was hit us on the top line and from an expense perspective as well. So that's Switzerland. And then the UK, they describe what they have. There's a cost of living crisis, high inflation. We've also got a small convenience business, so you know, cigarettes and vapes and, you know, and impulse items. But also, you know, because of the high cost of living, you know, people tend to shop, you know, look for value and would tend to shop elsewhere. And of course, tobacco and vape sales, I mean, is also declining globally. Mm. And then, yeah, it's what didn't also help was adverse weather. I mean, I hate blaming the weather, but you know, the weather is poor. People are not out on the streets, they're not walking about, they're not taking the train, and therefore they're not popping into these convenience centers. So, also, yeah, I mean, I think for both of those businesses we believe in the continuity of those businesses and keeping them going for staff, for suppliers, for you know, the broader communities, and we believe it will be better in the hands of other investors or other players.
Got you. Mr. Isaacs, this really helps because for many South Africans, when we think about our cost of living crisis, we can't relate to our counterparts or peers in Europe. There's a perception that things must be easier and bolder and more fun, right?
Yes.
But given what you've just described, and of course the decision that's been taken, does the same sentiment also stand true for your operations in Ireland at all with BWG, or is there a slight shift there?
No, look, BWG is, and I've spent some time with the team there now. And I've just joined. I've just been with the group for 6 months, so yes. I'm relatively new. But I've spent time with the team there, and look, we've got a very diverse business there. You know, it's got different brands within convenience. You know, so it's got the spa brand, but there's also, you know, Londis and Mace and XL, Gala, all different sort of brands within the stable. It's got a cash and carry business. It's got a wholesale business. It has a food services business, and its coverage over Ireland is quite big. It's quite large, and they've got a very good management team. You know, it's got depth. We've got real expertise in merchandise, in the support functions, in marketing, in HR, et cetera. And it's a great business. So it's very, and it's got a bit of scale, mm-hmm. so it can compete. And Ireland is a very different proposition for us, Sin and Jabulo.
Got you. And Mr. Isaacs, perhaps if we do come to the South African environment, right, just to make it closer and more relatable to us as South Africans, many of us are very familiar with spas, but what's been intriguing to note in your numbers, especially when it comes to the margins, is the performance of Build It, and of course the building division of the entity, as well as your, mm. I guess, liquor, as we know, typically does see an upward trend. But let's talk about Build It for a moment. Are we finding that this does relate to the macroeconomic environment where consumers are tapping into making sure that they go back to the COVID trend, extending their homes, refurbishments? In other words, what's driving this growth?
Look, I think it's still very tough economically. I mean, interest rates have come down, but they're still, you know, still quite high. And, you know, I mean, we still suffer from, I mean, inflation has come down. You know, unemployment is still, you know, stubbornly high. But in that context, and for a business that's very cyclical, so building typically follows the, you know, the economic cycle. You know, if there's confidence in the economy, there'll be more investment in housing and infrastructure, and people are comfortable to spend on the renovations and the like. I don't think we're necessarily there yet as a country. I think I don't think that confidence has necessarily returned. I think households are generally less leveraged than they were a year ago, but I wouldn't say that would make an enormous difference to consumer confidence. But I think in that context, I think it's a credible performance by Build It, mm-hmm. you know, to achieve growth of, you know, in excess of inflation, mm-hmm. you know, in that environment. And you know, where the spend actually, you know, is, especially on home improvements, is significant, and a significant impact on households, I think it's a good performance. So we've got big plans for that business, and we think it's, you know, it's the biggest independent sort of building retailer in the country, and we've got plans to grow it even further.
100%. I know you have to go, but I'm hoping just to squeeze one more question out of you.
Sure,
and this one
sure.
is really for from a consumer point of view. I know you manage the money, but how will the capital be allocated in such a manner that we will see the difference in outcomes from an operational point of view as customers? And whether that might be in your partnerships, within your retail stores, or even a focus on some of your specific divisions in the business?
Yeah, look. I think the SPAR model is a great model. I think it's we I mean, in very simple terms, we procure from suppliers, very big suppliers, in large volumes at good prices, and obviously because we procure in large volumes, we get better prices than independent retailers would, and we then pass that onto our retailers who then work hard. And this is the beauty of the model, is that our independent retailers are independent, and they're independent entrepreneurs, and they work hard every day to make their stores a success and to serve their communities.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to sharpen up. I mean, we call ourselves now the home of independent retail, and we have to sharpen up on making sure that we bring the best, whether it's pricing or product, or just general value proposition, to get it from our suppliers and bring it to our retailers at the best price, who can then pass it onto consumers, and drive it. And we'll use technology, we will use data, customer insights to drive all of that.
Got you. It might be an old tagline, but I guess SPA, good for you, is one I'll wrap up with. Mr. Isaac, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir. Truly appreciate it, and all the best going forward. Looking forward to touching base with you once there's more clarity in the strategy going forward and the outcomes we'll witness as customers.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. That is
Mr.
Reza Isaacs, who's the Group Chief Financial Officer at SPAR Group, helping us unpack the company's numbers. And I think really interesting lessons that he's taught us, just in understanding, how different international markets are to South Africa. We think we have it tough, and we do as South Africans, but the truth is it's difficult everywhere, as he's described in their operating model. From a South African point of view, definitely expect them to try to push through lower prices, as he's mentioned, but also focus on their health. Health-wise is a key aspect that they've been developing in their retail space. So no longer just going in to get your weekly groceries, but maybe a lot more than just the Panado as well, in terms of making sure that they have healthcare providers and pharmacists available at the front line to assist you there. Big competition in that space. You might recall we spoke to the CEO of Dischem. Yeah.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.